There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. Let my battle cross my arms, I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you wanna step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am Epic Boss McFall. And, you know, we've got a lot of different things going on today. You're going to hear some different noises because we've brought in a very special guest. But first, here keeping us straight, keeping us level, keeping us real, right? So, Box Klotz.
Hey, guys.
We're all working on our intros, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the Hey Abbott thing, but I'm going to do Hey Ibbit every time, and then you follow me in.
Oh,
and
nice.
And then you get to say, I hate that guy.
Yeah, so I introduce you. You do the Hey Ibbit, and then he does his thing. And so Golden Age Ibbit is there as well.
Hello. Ibby in the hizzy, and I'm working on it too. I don't have anything. No. I got nothing.
No.
And joining us, very special. You heard about her for the first time 2 weeks ago when we read an article in the Expanded Universe News. And we are having a few little microphone technicalities, but it's okay. We like hearing stuff around the background. It keeps us real. Ellie Collins is joining us today.
I'm always having to pick up after you boys.
Nicely done. Language.
God, right. Spoilers.
They weren't until you said that.
Both of those things, actually, the first one might not be, but the her thing was definitely in the trailer. So, you know, if you want to fuss about spoilers, you need to Twitter at Joss Whedon to fuss about the spoilers in the trailer. Geez. Okay.
You can't Twitter at him. He quit.
Open that can of worms until much later in the show.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll say that. But first off, we have some headlines, kind of.
We do. Spec Ops 26, Age of Ultron, is rolling along beautifully. We find out how everybody's doing with their Spec Ops, if they've gotten everything they wanted, and if they've had any trouble, I don't know, with things like Hulk heroics and things like that. We talk about Captain America's new alt suit came out.
Woo-woo.
And much, much more. But before we get to that, let's talk about sales. Paul, what's on sale?
We have, as the huge, we still have the Spec Ops item, the Legion Pulse Rifle at 64 gold. We also have the Empowered suits have returned. They are one suit bundle priced at 48 gold apiece.
I know, right? It's a bundle.
What a great bundle. What a great bundle of sleeves and collar.
And you have to be level 60, so it's still not helpful for some people.
Right. And then the big news is the first agent-only EISO, right. The Captain's Courage, which gives Cap America's passive for 30 gold. And then we have one of our typical rotation sales. The boom boxes for Avalanche are on sale right now.
So that is cool. Now, I know we're going to discuss it. I'll stop. Sorry. And there's one. I know. I don't
you
have.
Just wanna, you just want to. You just want to spill all your candy in the lobby, don't you?
You know. You know what? Us accessories. Klotz actually joined us in the chat room this morning on the accessories, and he pointed out I bring the chaos. But I definitely need you guys to rein me in. No. Stay on target.
You can't have your dessert before dinner, Charles.
Charles and his probability field.
Hey, that doesn't exist in the Marvel Universe anymore, so there. Or at least in the MCU.
Not the MCU, no.
Speaking of MCU, nice little plug here. The newest member of the Helicarrier Network, MCU Cast, found at mcucast.com, also at blogtalkradio.com/MCUcast. They have put up a teaser spoiler for the Age of Ultron movie, and they will be doing a full-on episode. So, obviously, tread cautiously if you haven't seen it. But if you have seen it, one of the best episodes to go listen to, go check that out. There are boys over there, MCU Cast. I don't have any Spartans this week to celebrate. So what I will do, and the joining of Ellie Collins with us, she doing her due diligence, right, doing her research to say, hey, if I'm going to be on your show, I need to know what to talk about, got hooked on playing the game.
Right? I did. I'm a total noob, but I'm really hooked on it.
So that's awesome.
What level are you now, Ellie? We'll celebrate that.
I think I'm level 8.
Yay! This is kindergarten. I don't know. Second grade.
Well, I had a convention appearance during the time where I could have been playing, so I missed 3 days of playing.
And we'll get into some of that later. So I guess that does bring us to the current events. So there we go.
Yeah. So let's first talk about Spec Ops 26. How is everyone doing with it? Let's go around the table. Paul, how are you doing with
Spec Ops? Right into the hot seat immediately. Jeez.
Hey.
I am just finishing it up. I will finish it today. Cool. I am currently trying to get 3 stars in the second mission. And I believe it's that and then one other task after that. And I'm done. And then, obviously, farming, because I still have a ton of UISO. So, yeah, I'm not ahead of the curve, but I'm with it, I think, you know? Mm-hmm. I think most people are probably finishing up right about now if they didn't finish in the last couple days. And I'm excited to rock out with Hulkbuster
soon. Yeah.
So stoked.
Now, that I am working on the Epic Hulk myself. I like the little...
my ringtone here. Hold on.
That's cool.
Okay.
No, it's all good. It keeps us real. So, I got the Hulkbuster alt. I finished up the official Spec Ops. I went through the simulator for the Hulk, which was stunningly easy once I actually took him from level 200 crystals to level 300 crystals, because I did not realize I had not done that yet. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, I know Ibbot's got all the alts for Hulk. So the original Hulk is okay. He's actually pretty good. The Avengers Hulk is really good because he hulks up constantly, and he's like a tank. But the newest Hulk, I don't remember what his alt name is, but where he fights dirty and can counterattack.
Right.
Pretty weak sauce. He's
gray Hulk, right? Is that?
I think it's the gray Hulk. I think you're correct on that.
Yeah,
he's pretty weak. So I tried all three of them through the simulator just to refresh my memory on what the differences were, and Grey Hulk just tanked. He is a horrible alt.
Yeah, he doesn't. Fighting dirty doesn't proc as much as it used to. It feels like
right.
it procs a lot less. And was it cause blindness on the other?
It has a chance to cause blindness and 3 other things along those lines. Staggered, maybe winded. I can't remember all of them, but you have a chance for 4. But yeah, it doesn't really work that well, and his counterattack is not that strong.
Right. Right. So, the new one. I'm really liking the new Hulk, and how many extra turns you can get every time he hulks up. Basically, you can you get yourself an extra turn.
So busted. I mean, obviously,
yes. Enjoy it while you can. Busted? Basically,
Hulk is busted.
Yeah. I'll contribute however I can.
Very well done. Yes.
Well, that's the joke, isn't it, though? Like, because Hulkbuster is just not going to handle him. It's not going to contain him. It's just going to be like, okay. It's like, that's the mechanic that makes the boss fights with the Hulk so hard. I was doing the boss battle in Mission 2, not the epic boss battle, just the regular one the other day. And I go in and I look away for a second to, like, I was either watching something on YouTube on the other screen or watching TV or something. And I look back and it's just my agent and everybody else is dead. And I'm like, what happened? Because he's that brutal. He's just like, I'm just going to take another turn. He's basically Molly 2.0. Like, I'm just going to pound you and pound you.
Yeah,
and pound you.
You got to be careful with the blaster. You don't want to take a blaster because he's a tactician. And then you got to just pound him hard before he gets his extra turns. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Stop it.
It's you, man. It's you. It's
my chaos field.
I learned it from you.
So I'm working on moving towards the Epic Hulk battle. That's all I'm working on now because I have not gained the new Hulk alt yet. That's what I'm shooting for now. But that's And then there, of course, is there's farming. Now, I'm fairly low on ISO because I did a hard push the last couple of days to make sure I got the Spec Ops completed. What did you think about the story of the Spec Ops?
Pretty run-of-the-mill. What? You mean the stuff you see really briefly as you go click, 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 click.
I tried to read through it once, and then the first...
I thought it was the only one. I was sitting here going, oh, crap, there's a story?
Yeah, I do feel bad for Wooder, because isn't that one of his jobs? Didn't he at least frame out what the story's going to be for this stuff?
I think he definitely does. It's funny. I feel like the chapters are all really well written, and I feel like the Spec Ops storylines usually aren't. Am I alone in that? Am I the only one who feels that way?
They often feel kind of cobbled together, like, hey, we need to accomplish getting these bosses in this and these characters in the deploy. So
they're vehicles, basically. Well, they're moving us from one point to the other.
Let's just connect the dots and make some BS and make it work, you know?
Just enough. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. The core story is really solid and very interesting, but the Spec Ops are just, you know, it's, I think part of it is like some of the Spec Ops contribute to the main storyline, but some of them are like, oh, hey, movie time, tie-in time. So let's try to warp a little bit of the MCU into our narrative here. And let's just deviate away again. So, right. I think that's, you know, probably one of the issues.
Yeah, you know, so I'm the same way. I read most of it, but then I just found the habit of click, 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 click going on. and I gave you a chance. I gave you, give me a reason to read it, and I'm going to read it. And we'll definitely pull it out and discuss it on the show. It's just, it's to me, it's Captain America 1. It was just fluff to get you to where we needed to go to launch the Avengers. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people like Captain America 1. Wasn't a bad film, but all the other films have been better, in my opinion, than the first Captain America.
I think the Cap film is really good in a vacuum. You know, like if the other movies weren't going on at the same time, it's a great World War II Captain America story. The other films, like Thor 1 is like... it's good, but it's got its, you know, it's got its short side. Thor 2, in my opinion, is actually like probably a step up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was very comic-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Thor 1 was definitely the rougher of the solo films, if you will.
And, well, bringing it back to our game, the Thor Spec Ops that went with Dark World was really good.
Right.
You know, the story was decent. It didn't feel like a vehicle. I mean, it wasn't great because I don't remember the details. So obviously, it wasn't like, whoa. But I remember it being good both in play and in story. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, not anymore. So, speaking of Captain, we have the Captain's new alt, which I immediately went out and purchased. I got the Tactician because I really like his bonuses as a Tactician. I like how he works as a Tactician. I imagine, Ibbet, you probably looked at both of them. Did you get both?
I did get both, yeah. It's funny. There's been such a drought of new stuff to spend command points on lately that it was just like a no-brainer. It's like, oh, you know, sure, let's get the Tactician. Let's get the Infiltrator, the Generalist. And I haven't played with the Generalist one yet, Avengers Age of Ultron Generalist Alt. But the Tactician was a lot of fun. I mean, it's let me pull up his passives and stuff. So obviously he's got the together bonus, which we're seeing with all of the Age of Ultron characters. They don't take extra damage from attacks that exploit status effects, and damage from dots are also reduced. Less dots.
Which somebody in our lounge has already reported back that going up against the mindless ones, that makes a huge difference.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, right. Because
Dang it, it's not Doom. It's
No, it's the Abyss, right? Yeah. Something Abyss.
Come on, Klotz. You know what it is. You're just letting us
No, fish. I actually okay. know.
Abyssal Stare?
Abyssal Stare, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that does huge amounts of damage if you don't do a rest action, but you probably could survive a few rounds of it with these guys. And then uniquely you know, Cap, he's got his chance to block attacks, which is kind of like his World War II, except his World War II starts off automatically fully equipped. This one's a chance. I don't know what that chance is. And then inspiring leadership, which we've seen, which is the accuracy, attack, defense, and evasion to all of his allies.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. And, you know, the four actions are all the same. So if you want shield guard, you can automatically, or you can turn that on the first time. Was that didn't used to be a quick action though, did it?
Not on the other alts. I don't know if they've changed it all the way around, but no, it was a full action.
Yeah. Before. I'm just noticing that it was,
or did you put snappy service on him?
Oh, that's what it is. Well, no, actually, because I don't have, no, not on this one. I don't have that. Shield guard appears to be quick action on all of them now.
Oh, well, there you go. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago. They're changing some things to quick action, some things to free actions, adding things, changing things. So, but here's the thing.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's supposed to be one of the benefits of this costume is to have that. But, Patrice here said in the chat room, he goes, sucks they didn't update his movesets. His movesets are really outdated. The thing is, with Cap 2, they released, you know, Cap and Steve Rogers. So we have an alternate version of Cap that has a different
moveset. Wildly different movesets, yeah.
But, like, the classic Cap is still a rock-solid, like, defender. Like, he is still a go-to guy to throw out there and like soak up some damage. So I don't think that I don't think we're going to see him ever get balanced to the point where he's like as good as any of the worthy, but you know, this might be a step in the right direction, you know? So I bought both costumes. I'm of the opinion now that I'm tired of getting burned by not having costumes when, well, you know, cause invariably, one or multiple of the costumes that come out during this string of Avengers costumes is going to be used in an insane team up, and I don't want to miss out on it.
You don't want to be the guy who doesn't have it.
Exactly. I did that with Guardians. I didn't think they were going to have the meta impact that Groot and Gamora did, and even Star-Lord to a certain degree. And I don't want to be sitting here with no toys to play with. So
now, none of these are saying limited time. You know how we usually get that little blurb on top of the costume that says limited time. So it's potential that these could be around forever, but now, I like Rogers that you don't want to pick that
May
chance.
15th.
Oh, yeah. The Steve, not the Captain America one, but the Steve Rogers one.
No, sorry.
One?
No, Captain America.
Oh, the Captain America? Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. So when you do the Hulk simulator tasks, it unlocks it permanently.
Okay.
But, well, but Captain America doesn't. Because I just went through to the Hulk one. The Bruiser I didn't buy, and it did not say limited time.
Well, yes. Well, okay. So that makes sense. Because
you've unlocked it.
Yeah, when we did the Guardians alts through the simulator, all you had to do is unlock it, and then it's permanently available for you to buy, versus the special alts. Captain America is only through May 15th. So if you're on the fence, you better get off it pretty soon, because not only is it going to expire, you've got more Age of Ultron Avengers alts coming down the pipe, which is why I didn't buy the Generalist, even though I have well over 200 CP. I don't know what else is coming. I still have to buy the new Hulk stretchy pants, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think they said in Black Widow getting one, and
everybody you see in Avengers Age of Ultron is getting a new alt. So Vision,
would that mean,
Scarlet Witch.
Thank you. That's what I was going to ask. All right.
No, that means I got to buy Vision. Damn.
You're saying that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, you haven't played with him yet, darling.
He's not particularly good in this game, which is funny because I was playing Heroes over the weekend and he just came out for that and he's not particularly good there yet either. But that'll get balanced. But yeah, hopefully this – now that's actually a really good point. Hopefully this all presented for Vision will fix that. Like in theory, this is that opportunity, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Right. To
there's definitely potential there. I mean, you've got a dual class, right? You've got Blaster and Infiltrator. You've got phased ability and the ability to do a couple attacks while he's phased and not break phase. Really good against mechanical enemies, but just underpowered, I think, is the biggest problem with him, right? Is that his attacks, while they're useful, while they're great utility attacks, aren't powerful.
Sorry, the chat room. Buck puts in, so will Ellie reach 300 before or after clots?
The race is on.
I have some unkind words to say right now. And I'm just
not gonna say it. Sure you do.
Yeah, you didn't even put my earmuffs on, so I don't say be nice.
Love you, Buck, but please shut up and go in the corner.
Language.
Oh, God. All right, so the most exciting news, for the first time ever, your agent can get it their own EISO.
Right.
Right? And what's funny, some people weren't picking up on that, because it's weird, is I was looking for a cap EISO, right? One just for him. I couldn't remember if he had one or not, so I went to the store just to see if I could buy one and clicked agent or Hero Specific only. And I saw that one, and it said Agent Epic Boss McFall, or Agent McFall FTH. Like, is that a glitch? No, that's for me. That's right. Awesome. So
it's interesting. Yeah, it's let me pull it up here. It is the Captain's Courage. And it's funny because, yeah, when you first see when somebody first posted a picture of this in the Agents Only Lounge, because of the word Captain, even they were assuming, all right, Cap has new EISO. And then we started looking, it's like, no, wait, the hero says your name here.
Yeah.
And, so it's really, really interesting. So the benefits are you don't get extra damage. It's basically the same thing that all the Age of Ultron alts are getting, that no extra damage from attacks that exploit status effects, and damage over time effects are also reduced. Now, that's the second one, that's the big one that's shared between all of the AOU alts.
Which is really cool, because then you don't have to use the weapon set that gives you the Age of Ultron Avengers status so that you share in it. Yeah. You can use this EISO on your agent all the time.
You can. And which thank is goodness key for PvP. Right.
I mean, that's pretty epic there. That's kudos.
You're definitely going to want to use this. Here's the thing. I don't think this is an EISO that you use in a one EISO suit. This is definitely one you would use in a two EISO suit along with something else. So either in a tactician with snappy service, because it's going to be hard to replace snappy service out of a
not for me. I don't have any good tactician suits.
Oh, really?
I'm okay.
Well, yeah. That's actually exactly what I did. I have the Empowered. So I literally immediately took out Savant and put this one in, because I think in the long run, this new one is going to add more survivability than Savant does. Hmm. And so I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's a clear upgrade. So I'm just going to go for that.
Now, didn't you get any of the Empowered squared trenches from the...
I do have a couple of them. I'd have to go digging to see which ones I have. I do believe I have the tacked one.
Okay.
As well as... I have two or three or four of them, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at it earlier, and I noticed how many I had, and I was like, damn, I bought a lot of gold this year.
Yeah. I've actually got two pages now of uniforms. So a full page and then two on the next page. I think it's...
Really?
I wish I could. Yeah, I'd love it if you could resort these, because they're scrambled all over the place, first of all. It would be nice to actually be able to kind of drag these in the order that you want them to appear, so that you have like all of your Safeguard together, all of your Empowered Squared together. Because some of these, I don't know, you know, just looking at the icon, I don't know if that's the Empowered Squared or the regular Empowered or the... there's another one that kind of looks like that with that glow behind it. Just the power armor has the glow behind it. So, but anyway, for me, it's going to be the second EISO and a two EISO suit for sure.
I gotcha. Now, I think I'm probably going to try it out once I buy it, just in general, just to see. It definitely depends on the meta and the next PvP to how that flexes. But here's a quick update. We were corrected by the clairvoyant in the room that Black Widow's alt is going to drop next, but then the rest are trademarked Playdom soon, coming soon. So they're not all going to drop right now, although they are in the works.
They've been about a week apart, right? We got the Hulk one when the Spec Ops launched, and then we got the Captain America one on Friday.
Kind of theoretically speaking, the Hulk one and the Iron Man one both tied to the end of Spec Ops, right?
Right. Yes. I forgot about the Iron Man one as well. Yeah.
And then Cap dropped about a week after this. So we should be looking this week, you know, about right now, we should be getting Black Widow.
I would look for it on Friday, but maybe Thursday. But hey, surprise us, play them and release something again while we've got the show going for sure.
So we have now, unless you got any more you want to say about the EISO or Spec Ops?
No. Okay. No, I think that
the only thing I really have to add is I'd love to see more agent only EISOs.
Yeah.
It was weird because like last week after the show, I was thinking, I was like, you know, that's a way to make agents a little more interesting than they currently are, is to offer some customization options like that. And I was thinking, why don't they do agent only EISOs? And then literally like 2 days later, boom, there it is on the screen. And I'm like, the level of connection I have with Playdom now is uncanny and upsetting because they apparently know what I'm thinking before I do. But I'm not taking credit for it because I didn't mention it on the show or anything like in the past where I've had coincidental syncing.
Right.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great way to give a lot of flexibility to the agent. And it hopefully can either enable more diversity or just create different scenarios, like, because in theory they don't all have to be defensive like this. They can do different things, you know. And
yeah,
the big concern is when you put a EISO out, if I put it on X character, does it break the game? And this allows you to avoid that. It's like, well, you can plan for well, it's going to go on the agent and the agent's only got the, you know, all these different items that they can use, mm-hmm. but that's not nearly as potentially risky as putting it on some of the heroes that are already super busted. Right. So, I think it's a great idea and I'd love to see more played on. If you're listening, do it more.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of things you should do, played them. We have been listening to some other shows for other games. And I know with World of Warcraft, they put in, what is it called? Pre-testing.
The PTR, the public test realm.
Public test realm. There you go. Even if you gave us private access up front, what we'd love to do is just a week advanced, if you let us from the Helicarrier sample the goods, shoot us an article. You know, we understand the whole hold for release. We understand, you know, Ben Morse gets to do the actual blogging and he holds it until you say it's okay to put it out. But let us see the Hulk stuff. Let us get some hands-on time. We will get people excited about what's coming and we'll share more information. And then people will be more on board with these launches, right? With the Spec Ops coming out. You know, if we can tell them, hey, Spec Ops is about to come out, or hey, the PvP is about to come out, here's the awards that you're gonna go for. I think it'll help your game. It'll grab a broader audience, and it'll help our show. And this is why you should always give us free stuff. That's all I'm saying. Or at least access.
Good luck with all that.
So, all right. So a couple of weeks ago, we read, we actually came across in the Expanded Universe, right? You guys talked about how Bobby, old Ice Age Bobby, is going to go. He's going to come out of the closet, right? He's going to become openly gay in the universe. And from my understanding, being the non-expert in the comic world at all, that we have had openly gay characters in either alternate universes, because I even told you guys there was an X-Men storyline that had Nightcrawler and Colossus, not together, but both as gay. But those weren't the main universes. And or in the main universe, we have some B-level, but
North Star.
Yes, but they're not as mainstream as X-Men or Avengers, right? So while they're there, they're still not the upfront, everybody sees on the toy shelf characters. Right.
They're not doing the A-list. They're not going to make that change to an A-list character necessarily.
Right. And even though you could argue Bobby's more known because of the X-Men and the X-Men movies, he's still not Wolverine, right?
Right.
Although Wolverine would be a total bear. Right. He would be a total bear if he was Jose. I'm just saying. You know, I'd love to see that episode. But we were talking about it. Somebody posted in the chat room, hey, there's this great article on it. Ibbet, you read it. You talked about it a little bit. And then you said, and it was written by Ellie Collins. Are you crazy? I know Ellie Collins. That's awesome. So we want to, before we hit All Hail to the King, we'd like to talk a little bit about the changes to the universe, how it might affect the Marvel Universe as a whole. and why it's good or bad. So, Ellie, since you haven't had a whole lot of time to talk because you're new to the game, why don't you talk about it a little bit?
Okay. Who was it that, who in the room was the one that read the article?
It was me.
Okay.
And I think I had nice things to say about it, right? I hope I did.
You said I made some good points, but you disagree because you think it's good. Like
Yes.
This is going This is going Catholic school way too fast for my liking. I feel the ruler coming from my hand now.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
is it not good the way they're doing it, or not good to take a known character like this and do this?
It's
like
not good the way they're doing it.
Okay.
Because I'll get to that point in a sec. Because the main problem is that they're taking a situation that is often, you know, very traumatic and can even put lives in danger, and they're making it the butt of a joke. They're normalizing it in, well, if you out someone, you're being a good friend. Well, no, people have lost their jobs. People have experienced violence because of it. This is not something that we should have laughed off and, oh, look, Gene's such a good friend. No, Gene's wretched.
So, you know, like, well, slow down. You're on a good roll.
It's normalizing of a bad situation.
But as many of the audience possibly are with me, as I haven't researched how they're doing it, I didn't get to read the article. I didn't look at the panels. So why don't you set up how this is coming about? Because obviously I can piece it together from what you said. But so what happens to do this in the comics?
Okay, so essentially, and this is where it diverges into something bad, is the very beginning. In the beginning, Iceman makes a vaguely misogynistic comment about one of the female teammates calling her hot or whatever. And Jean's like, hold up, you don't need to be doing that. And they had me there. I was like, yeah, let's address why you shouldn't catcall girls. This is great, Marvel. Holy crap.
Right. And we've addressed that on the show here before.
Exactly. You know, like that's a great angle to take at it. Why you shouldn't catcall. Why it's offensive. And then it turns into, Bobby, you can't do that. And he says, why? And she dances around it and dances around it and goes, well, because you're gay. Like, okay.
Just in front of everybody.
No, privately.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. All right.
It's a private conversation, but, you know, you can still violate someone's privacy in private. But there comes the first problem of, okay, so you can't catcall someone because you're gay? Like, honey, I've been in enough gay clubs. The most comments I get about my body come from gay men. Like, straight men usually don't have the cojones to say stuff. Gay men, always. Usually,
I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah,
weird.
Right.
But, you know, so that was the first sidestep of, okay, so you can't catcall because you're gay? Like, that was when I could tell, oh, so we're going to go with this storyline. We're going to shoehorn it in where it doesn't belong. And then pretty much he's like, what? No, like he is more confused about it than anything. And it's not like he got caught. It's more like he's going, wait, this is news to me. What?
So they're not bringing it out as a strong gay character saying, you know what? I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to stand up and do this and for myself and for others. They're, for lack of better words, I'm not trying to make a pun here, but they're back ending it here with confusion and outing and just kind of sounds like a mess.
Well, and that's the problem is everyone heralds it as Iceman is coming out. No, Iceman did not come out. The conversation that follows that is essentially Bobby trying to figure out his own sexuality and even saying like, well, but I've dated, my older self has dated women, so I guess I'm bisexual. To which grossly Jean goes, well, you know, they say everyone's a little bisexual, which A, is completely offensive because it reduces the people who are bisexual to just like a default status as opposed to an actual identity. And then she goes, and this is the line that like everyone in the LGBT community lost their minds over. She goes, no, you're more like full gay.
Holy cow. And I can see why you say this is a bad thing.
Yeah, we all went, what the crap? But then like Jean proceeds to just like drill it into Bobby's head. It's not Bobby going, oh my gosh, I'm gay, and him coming, you know, coming to terms with his own sexuality, which would have been a great story. It's Jean like, how I phrased it to one person, Bobby didn't come out of the closet. Gene built a closet around him, told him he was in a closet, and then wow. shut him out of it. You know, because then she even makes jokes, like when she's badgering him, saying, no, you're gay, no, you're gay, no, you're gay. He goes, I don't understand why people love you. And she goes, well, of course you don't, because you're gay.
Oh.
And it's like, wow. You serious? Yeah. And it just, it goes that way. And, you know, there's that level of offensiveness to it. And then the people going, well, but this is great. Bobby's gay. And, you know, people are saying, well, Jean can't control her powers. Like, well, no, but she can control her mouth. You know, right. She can control what she says. But if we go with the fact that this is pre-Dark Phoenix, you know, pre-like insane level of power. And if we say, well, she can do this because she can't control her powers, one of Jean's powers is influence. That she can change people's minds and make them do things. So we don't know what thought Jean heard. Like, you know, a lot of teenage boys have passing gay thoughts. You know, it's teenage years. And
hey,
you know,
I still have a crush on Ibbot. I'm just saying.
Who doesn't?
Who does it?
I mean, you know, he could have just been like, man, Colossus's movie is fine. But Jean, and we also know, we also don't know what level of judgmental Jean is. We don't know if she may have completely taken a thought of his and blew it out of proportion and decided, well, if Bobby's thinking I need to go buy a new pink shirt, he's gay, without knowing what thought she heard. Because if Bobby's that level of confused by her saying it, chances are he's not sitting in his head going, I'm gay. Oh, my God, what do I do? When him being gay came as news to him.
So in all honesty, though, it could even be played off, unless there's more panels I don't know about. It could be played off. That's something that she's put out there, which is still a horrible way to handle this. But that's something that she's put out there so that he's not.
If that's the way they went with that, holy cow.
Right? That's still, well, it's not like they're doing a great job now.
And that's the thing is, like, he could not be gay. You know, she could have heard the wrong thought and, you know, outed him in a way that, you know, Bobby's a confused teenager, you know, pretty easy to influence, even if you don't have mutant powers of influence. There's a high possibility that she forced Bobby to be a sexuality that he actually wasn't because she interpreted his thoughts in a certain way.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. Yeah, like, so when we talked about this before, I was all for it. And then I read your article after the fact, and I saw the panels that you included in the article. And I was going through, and I was like, wow, like, this is really invasive. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, she's a telepath. So it's like, and the big thing is, like, one of the biggest topics of conversation, these issues that we talk about nowadays is consent. And she, as a character, is stripping him of all consent. Like, he has no,
exactly.
He no longer has sovereign rights to his own thoughts. He's being told who he is and what he thinks and what that means. And that, when I read it in that context, I was suddenly like, wow, this is like wildly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this would be inappropriate if he was straight and she was just like revealing that he was really into somebody that he hadn't come to terms with, that it would be on a similar level, just different, you know?
Yeah.
But I think what kind of ups the ante here is that, you know, obviously, the LGBT community is fighting really hard to get equal rights, get equal, you know, treatment, just getting normalcy, like where they're not seen as some strange, aberrant outside thing. And this just further accentuates that. Like, that was from my perspective, going back at it and seeing the actual panels, I was like, I totally see where you're coming from, because this is wrong. Like, this is not the way to do it. And it's actually probably more damaging.
And the thing is, though, like, because some people have been like, well, these kind of conversations happen. And it's like, yes, they do happen. You know, I will owe up to the fact that this is a very real situation that they've presented. Where it stopped being real was when Bobby accepted it, because then it said that this situation is okay. And it's fine to portray negative, bad stuff. That's why we have supervillains. But the point is, we know that they're villains. You know, you can present terrible situations as long as you don't put, like, you know, cutesy little hearts and stars around it and let people think that it's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
There's definitely some back and forth in the chat room, but everybody seems to be more along the lines of the whole idea around it seems to be handled very poorly. And I'm kind of left confused on what Marvel's point is here.
Yeah, I mean, well, bravo Marvel for thinking of doing this, but yeah, definitely having gone back and read the panels after the show that you were talking about, I was like, oh yeah, this is
well, this kind of, like, for me, this kind of highlights something that comes up occasionally when things like this are done, where people question the motive. Like, for example, like the Thor, you know, female Thor thing, changing some of the other characters like Miles Morales, Captain Marvel, you know, like all these different things where we're obviously pushing, you know, different types of people. And I've said on the show before that I support that because I do think that people all around the world should be able to pick up a comic book, especially a Marvel comic book, and see somebody who they can identify with, somebody that represents them. But like, if you're going about it the wrong way and you're just forcing it just to meet like a quota or something, you're not doing any service to that minority or that community that you're trying to appeal to, that you're trying to represent. You're just kind of like beating everybody over the head with it, and you're not, it's not organic. It doesn't flow.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, no, absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I was going to say too, like also, you know, and I don't want this to sound exclusionary in a way, but if you're essentially an old straight man and you're trying to write about the struggle of a young gay teen, like, you either need to do your research or listen to the people when they criticize you. Because when people said this is not good, you know, like, people, it started out nice with Bendis, and of course he made it turn ugly, but you know, people were giving him critique and being like, why would you say these things? Why would you do this? This is extremely offensive. And Bendis went, well, I didn't write it to be offensive, so it's not offensive. And it's like, I really don't think you understand how offensive works.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't intend for my comment to be racist, so it's not.
Yeah.
Now that's like, I didn't intend to run that red light, so you shouldn't give me a ticket.
Right.
You know, like, that's not how that works. You know, like, it's fine if you want to write something that's not your demographic, like, but definitely, you know, do the research. You know, it's not like he can't just, you know, look to the left or right and find a gay person, you know, and he can just be like, hey, is this on point with, you know, the struggles in your community? Is this presented properly? You know, much like I, you know, there's all sorts of other things that wind up being controversial that you can tell that nobody ran it by the person that it affects.
Yeah.
You know, like very misogynistic stuff in comic books. You can tell that they never like showed it to a woman and went, hey, what do you think of this? Because, you know, any woman would have been like, are you insane?
Yeah. So yeah. Let's roll that into, before we get to the king here, the, of course, Age of Ultron is out. All of us here on the show have seen it. We're going to try to do this as spoiler-free as possible. But there's been a lot of backlash to Joss Whedon along the same lines of, from what I understand, people felt like they made Black Widow a damsel in distress needing saving, and it got so ugly he actually left Twitter and is no longer on the social media platform.
I will agree and disagree with that stance. And also, Joss Whedon's left Twitter before. He's a little drama queen. It's always, oh no, people don't like the thing I did that was offensive. I'm going to take my toys and go home.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever, Joss. Now, he was revolutionary in the 90s. He needs to update.
Patch is needed. Is that what we're saying? He needs a patch.
Yes.
A refactoring.
Joss needs a patch. I mean, Black Widow wasn't a damsel in distress.
However,
she had a lot of problematic scenes and quotes. You know, there were a lot of nuggets of her that were definitely deep problems, but she was not a damsel in distress, in my opinion.
Well, you know, to play it like the game, this, and I want to hear Ibbitt's take on this too, and Klotz, but to play it like the game, she's a spy. So in our game, it'd be an infiltrator. They are as far as bruisers go, as far as blasters go, infiltrators are a weaker class because you're supposed to use them differently. She's being used in the Avengers, not in her strength, which is spying, which is subterfuge, which is much like she did in Winter Soldier, get in and out and only fight a little bit. She's being used right next to the Hulk as a tank. And it's you're out of your element, Donnie. You know, market A, dude. So I felt like she did really, really well still being out of her element. And every once in a while, she got into a little trouble. That happens to Stark in one of the movies. He got out of his element. I think maybe Iron Man 3, the whole movie, he's out of his element. You know, if you take his, you take Stark's armor away, he's nothing as far as a hero goes.
Yeah.
So I didn't find it to be a damsel in distress. I found it to fit the story personally.
The closest to damsel is the fact that she goes from Avengers 1 of love is for children, I owe him a debt, and she's a total, you know, baddie. And then she goes to the second one with, let's run away together.
But if you really look deeper, it's the mutual damage that they both have, that they're like the only people in the world that can understand each other to that level, it seems like.
And I can't talk without spoilers. What are you guys?
I know.
Okay, so like, oh man, I'm so all over the place with this. Like, one of the thing, what you just talked about, Charles, is absolutely on point. The thing about Hawkeye and Black Widow, and this is both of them, you know, it's not just Black Widow because she's a woman, but they're both everyman. You know, they're people. They're normal people with exceptional skills. Like, they're talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been trained. They have exceptional training and experience, but they don't have superpowers. They might have some.
I kind of always thought Hawkeye did, but because
Hawkeye has superpowers, and Black Widow got a different strain of the super soldier serum that's in Cap.
Not in the movies, though.
In the Marvel,
not in the movies.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other issue we're always going to have, because that rolls around to the Scarlet Witch issue that we haven't even addressed yet. Is that the MCU? We really can only take it as what has been shown to us. You know, what we've been told is what's going on. And it's tough for us as comic fans. Like, we've got decades of content that we look at and say, this is what feeds, you know, the characters that we know them as. But the problem that I think people forget sometimes is, like, well, most people haven't read from the very first issue of a certain character's run all the way through to current, you know, the current existence, and read every book that they've been in. Different writers have gone in different directions. They've retconned things so many times that you can't take anything from anywhere as verbatim, like, this is the law. Like, because
that's why I had a problem with Scarlet Witch in the movie.
Okay, well, let's get to that in just a second. So
I was just saying, I agree with you.
In the movie context, you know, Black Widow and Hawkeye are not on the same power level as the other people on the team. I mean, we're talking about an alien that's essentially a god. We have the Hulk, who's, you know, on the same
god
level.
Who's essentially an alien. I mean, come on, come on, be fair.
By that same description, Stark isn't. I mean, he's not superhuman either. He has a suit.
Right,
but he has superior technology, and resources, you know? And then, but that's trickling out to the rest of the team and enhancing everybody. And then you got Cap, who, honestly, like, in the film, without spoiling anything, there's times where they hit the uncanny valley for me with him, where, like, all right, I get that he's a super soldier, but he's gone just a little too far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, he's just doing stuff that seems outside of his scope.
Beyond his strength level and stuff.
Out of your element, Donnie.
Yeah, I feel those guys. Go back to it.
You don't know what you're talking about, Donnie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Is like, yeah, sometimes the Hulk has to come and do something to. I almost spoiled something. Deflect something to help out, or Iron Man's going to come in and blow something up to help out, and these things happen, but they're also doing it for each other too, so it's not like it's just one-sided. It's not like, you know, Black Widow and Hawkeye are just getting, you know, escorted around with big kids, you know, and they're the little babies or anything. But, you know, it's, they do keep kind of throwing Black Widow into that submissive role, I guess, where she's the one that gets put in the danger or whatever, and then everybody.
I like how you said submissive, because she's one of the only seemingly true soldiers in this whole outfit. I mean, Hawkeye is too, is they are still SHIELD to the core, and they still submit to Samuel L. Jackson. Come on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Nick Fury.
Fury. Thank you. Hey, Ellie, you're new. You hush.
Charles, I know you.
But they still are the soldiers, whereas Cap will go toe-to-toe with Fury. Of course, Thor's just like, I got gorgeous hair. I don't need to listen to you. You know, and Stark is Stark, and Banner is Banner. So these are the only two military people. I just didn't feel like watching it that she ever needed help, other than what everybody else needed. I mean, everybody takes a hit, right, in the middle of this movie that we won't really go into, but you can kind of see coming. Everybody takes a hit. The team is thrashed. And I didn't understand where people were coming from with this backlash going, are you just looking for problems to hate on because it's a super mega blockbuster franchise now?
It's funny because
it has actual problems. It has actual problems that warrant discussion, but you've got that vocal minority looking at the wrong things. So anyone with the legitimate critiques is not being heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that really highlights the big issue here. Like, I saw some of the tweets that were directed at Joss, and it ties into what we talk about with – we've talked about community so many times on this show. We've talked about the video game community in particular, the way they respond to developers and people at large. We talked about it just as recently as last week with the Valve thing. People – and it's not just limited to gaming. People all over the place are just saying the most vile and ridiculous stuff because they're upset about something. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's inexcusable. It just doesn't make sense. If you want to change things, if you want to be a champion for whatever cause that you care about, you have to develop a positive, constructive discourse. And that it was not happening. I mean, clearly nobody was like, hey, Joss, hey, you want to come talk about some of the decisions you made and explain and elaborate so we can understand why things went the way they did? No, people were like, oh, I hate you. I hope you die.
Yeah. You have never no make soul. Another film
well,
ever
again. Right. Well, I feel like when you look, though, at the tweets that go at Joss Whedon, it has to go under that filter of Yelp reviews. Generally, the only people who are going to write a Yelp review hated the place. You know, it's most of the people who enjoy the movie are not going to tweet, thank you, Joss Whedon. Or the people with genuine critiques are not going to tweet, you know, at Joss Whedon, hey, I was just curious, what was your motivation behind this? Because people know that the famous people don't read the tweets and they don't respond to them. So the only people that you're going to get thinking that they can do anything by tweeting at someone are going to be the Yelp review people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna
get the lowest common denominator sometimes, like right. Just the people who are not gonna look at it constructively are not gonna form a good argument even. Like, I mean, some of the stuff is just mind-boggling. And it kind of puts anybody, not just Joss Whedon, in this position where you can't win. Like, he literally said they win and then quit, which is melodramatic. Like, let's be honest, that's like something I expected out of a scene of Buffy. Not really from, you know, him on social media.
Mm-hmm. Again, Joss hasn't aged past the 90s. Right.
So, I mean, but yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, man, I don't know. We keep beating it to like a dead horse. I just really wish people would stop, like, acting like everything is the end of the world and that whoever did something that really bothered them should be, like, it's a lynch mob. It literally is. It's the torches and pitchforks. So
internet plus anonymity equals trolls. Like, it equals a level of
I got for Law Talk Radio, I gotta hit a stop here. The sound's gone sideways, so I'm gonna connect it back in.
I'm here, sorry.
No, that was me. I was telling Blog Talk Radio that for some reason the sound went sideways. There's
weird. Yeah, I wonder what happened there. Like,
it's the ghost of Whedon.
It was getting right.
Yeah, when you've got internet plus anonymity, you end up with some of the most vile comments and vile behavior that people wouldn't necessarily normally do if they were in a room with the person that they're making comments towards. And that should be the thing that people strive towards, obviously, is that if you're displeased with something, that's totally fine. You should be, you know, everything's not going to be, perfect in your opinion. Open up a channel about it, open up a reasonable, logical discourse about it and not lobby these threats and harassment and these horrible things that we're saying about him.
Yeah, it's this is why.
And we didn't stick up for yourself. We didn't stay on Twitter and don't let that behavior get rewarded by your leaving.
Yeah. Right. I just
want to throw in real quickly as a female.
What?
No, nobody got this vocal about how dare you chase someone off Twitter during Gamergate when, no, you know.
We talked about it here.
No,
on the
we
show.
Did. We no, did. But about mean, Twitter, you guys did. You're talking about mainstream. You're talking about mainstream. You're talking about.
No, I'm talking there have been people chased off Twitter with death threats and everything, but I've never seen a community as a whole attack the people who were sending threats to someone as much as people are going after the Joss Whedon situation. It's like, now you guys care about Twitter bullying? Yeah. Like, you know, when it was happening to Felicia Day, nobody said a word. Like, everyone was like, whatever, she needs to learn to just take it and go on. And then Joss Whedon takes his toys and go home.
But to
and
be
now
fair,
it seems like there's a worse backlash.
To be fair, Felicia Day can snap your neck. I saw it on Supernatural. So, you know, she's tougher than Josh.
She can snap my neck any day.
Honestly, though, I think I agree, but I also think that there's a thing. When you feel passionate about something, you tend to notice the things that either directly oppose your feelings on it or the things that corroborate it and things that support it. And in these situations, we see one or the other. And when there's a mountain of garbage out there, of people just saying vile stuff, you can't see the forest for the, you know, I don't know if I'm using that right. Can't see the forest for the trees. There's just so much that, like, how do you go after these bullies when there's so many of them? And it's so disgusting. And it happens on both sides. And I think, like, I agree. Like, there should, I don't know how to, like, solve the problem is my frustration. It's like, but it happens on both sides. Like, Gamergate really bothered me because.
Well, then it's still going on.
No, I know. And it, every time anybody, man, woman, child, dinosaur gets threatened on the internet, like personally, I am incredibly offended by that. Like, that's, people should be able to be safe and feel safe. Like, that should be number one. People shouldn't be attacking other people literally and making threats like that. And it just shouldn't happen to anybody regardless. Like, you know, you could be the worst person on the planet. There's people out there whose job is to take care of that, you know, police forces, military, whatever. That's should be handled. You know, me sitting here at my desk, I shouldn't be like telling somebody that they need to die or I'm going to.
Are you telling me I should stop sending my bully emails to ISIS?
Right.
My bullying tweets.
Is when it becomes a cycle. Like, if people were just threatening Joss, then we go, okay, you guys are stupid, stop that. But now people are threatening the people who threaten Joss, and then those people get threatened, and it becomes this, you know, snake eating its tail of internet bullying, whereas if we just, you know, said, hey, stop that, instead of attacking those people, it seems like the backlash of the original bullies is worse.
Yeah, and, you know, to... Why we discuss this on a show about a game is, one, it is in the Marvel Universe. It applies to what we're doing, but it shows you a bigger picture of what's going on and why we always say be nice. They are humans on the other end of this thing. You're a human. If you don't start with that basic level of respect, you got nothing. And that's where I think a lot of these bullies are coming from, and a lot of this caustic, nasty vitriol is coming from. So, you know, while we bring it back to the game, we talk about, we're going to go back to more in-game stuff here in a minute. This is important because it's not just this game. It's not just World of Warcraft. It's not just the Avengers movie. It's people as a whole on the internet. And we, the only way, Klotz, what you said about being frustrated, you don't know how to solve it. I don't know how to solve it either, but the only way we can fight it is to bring a different voice to the table. You know, not tell people, don't do that. We tell people, no, do this. Be more like this. Discuss your opinions. Disagree all you want, but be civil. Be nice. You know, treat each other like humans, and I think that makes all the difference in the world. And honestly, it's just a movie. It's just a game. It's just a fill in the blank. Life goes on. You know, there's a lot more important things out there to get riled about. Just get over over yourself.
I would say, though, I disagree with that slightly.
You're fired.
The,
shut up.
The no, the whole
sorry.
It's just a game, it's just a movie, because I feel like that's often used to discount the people that have criticisms. So, you know, while you're remembering that these are people, remember that, you know, if they are upset about something, it's generally because it affected them, because these aren't just movies. These aren't just games. They do influence our everyday life. If something negative is presented as something positive, if it's presented as a joke, it does influence people. So if there are people saying this is a bad influence, we should, you know, not just say it's just a movie, it's just entertainment. Say, well, why is that offensive? We should, you know, not necessarily listen to the people screaming and yelling, but we should have dialogues about it instead of just shutting people down because it's just a form of entertainment.
And I will agree that there's definitely, that's why we discuss these things, because they definitely bear discussing. When, let me clarify, when I say it's just a movie, when we scale it up to the point of screaming and yelling and life's going to end, that's when it becomes pointless. Because 10 years from now, I don't think people are going to remember Avengers Age of Ultron as a key pivotal moment and women's liberation, or
but it could be.
You're right. It could be. It
could
be
a catalyst.
So
talk
is good. The rest of it can, you know, Kathy would say language. So
I think, like, for me, the big thing is, like, you know, when you talk about conflict resolution and dealing with issues, like, in a professional setting, what do most managers look for? They look for people who say, "Hey, I've got this problem, and here are some ideas on how we might be able to fix it." Yeah. Like, that's what people prefer. And I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to see more people stepping forward and being like, okay, so this is my issue with this film. This is my issue with this issue of this comic book. This is my issue with whatever. This is how I might have handled it a little differently. And what's done is done. Like, once media is put out there, it's out there. We can't, you know, reprint all the comic books. We can't.
Unless you're George Lucas and you can go back and kind of change.
That is true.
Lucas.
But he's had his scepter taken away, so.
Right. A little bit.
And so that's the whole thing, is like, we can't undo what's been done, but all we can move forward. And so people need to start stepping up and having constructive ideas, saying, hey, this is what I'm upset about, and here are some ideas. Like, here's how I would like to have seen this done differently. Here's how I would like to have this issue treated in a comic book or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, Ellie's absolutely right, because the sad truth is, in our society, people pay more attention to what's on the boob tube. That's really bad word. But you know what I mean? The television
language.
Or the computer. They pay more attention to that than they pay attention to, like, what's happening in, you know, legislation that affects these issues. You know, what's going on a local, state, national, international level for these kind of issues and stuff that's going on. So maybe we do have to make that change in entertainment so that it can, for lack of a better phrase, trickle out into everything else. So it can bleed out and affect everything, because that's what people are paying attention to. For right or wrong,
sure,
that's where people's focus is. So I could absolutely see taking something like this and being like, all right, so here's our opportunity to talk about this issue. Here's my ideas. And, you know, this is how I would have done it. And I think that's definitely way better than just shouting at someone. Because nobody joins your team if you're just shouting at them.
Well, the best example of this is Ellie's article. I mean, you know, you took a very measured and very logical and meaningful and respectful response to the way Marvel handled Bobby's coming out, or Bobby's being thrust out of the closet.
I find that unusual for you to say, because, like, a lot of the critiques on that article were that I was too emotional and I was too angry about it. And the thing is, too, like, yes, you know, nobody wants the shouty person on their team, but I do think that there is a level where you have to show how much it does affect you. Because I got to do that article because one of the guys in my staff group for Ace of Geeks said, hey, did you guys hear about this? And I went on a 4-page diatribe about it. You know, I was screaming, I was cussing, I was losing my mind, going, no. And
they just didn't want you to edit it behind them, is all. They're like, no, you go ahead and handle that.
No, my boss from Ace of Geeks was like, you know what? If you can clean that up a little, just make it an article. And so I think sometimes too, like, especially with LGBT issues, just because that's the nearest to my heart, sometimes people don't understand the severity if you aren't upset. You know what I mean? Yeah. No civil rights movement was started having tea together.
Right. Need a little bit of exclamation points to kind of get the... Yeah. You know, kind of the passion. Point across or the passion.
Yeah, right, exactly. Have the passion. Because honestly,
without vitriol,
this is true. Right.
Yeah,
great. I was about to make this point. You know, the "I have a dream" speech would not have been as effective if it was NPR. I have a dream that one day,
right?
You know, there is passion, but vitriol is not passion. There is a difference there.
Yeah, it's one thing to speak with conviction, and it's another thing to, you know, just shout from a pulpit, a bully pulpit, especially. Yeah. And, you know, that's actually relevant to, like, what's going on with the whole Baltimore situation and, you know, the struggle of minorities and particularly blacks in America and how they're treated. And I've seen a ton of people bringing up Dr. King and saying, hey, you know, this was somebody who affected positive change, even though his life was taken incredibly short, you know, like out of nowhere, just in the midst of all of that momentum just taken from us. And he still accomplished great things by making strong, powerful speeches that sold a point. But, you know, they weren't shouting, but they were firm, you know, there was a solid point. And I think that's really how you can approach it and, you know, emulate that style.
So it's going to be a hard transition back. So we're just going to retcon this conversation back to the game.
I have an MCU theory I wanted to run by you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Perfect. Sure.
No. It's a theory for the upcoming movies.
Okay. Bring things back, which is perfect.
Yes, it's a theory for the upcoming movies because my coworker Chuck came up to me and goes, hey, have you thought about all the locations of the gems that have been in the MCU? We have the space gem, which was inside the Tesseract, the reality gem that was inside the ether, the power gem, which was inside the orb, and the mind gem, which was inside the scepter, which when we write those down, we get T, A, O, and S.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Why is this interesting?
Mexico, where...
We've got two more gems to go, and it would spell Thanos.
Oh, H.
Well, I thought you were talking about New Mexico where they found Thor's hammer.
No. The theory that my coworker presented to me that I wanted to see what you guys thought of it, because it does seem like that we're spelling Thanos.
Well, how do we not know that this is the case? Because he leads he is the one trying to put together the Infinity Gauntlet. He leads the Infinity Wars, or the wars are against him, right? And in there's other things leading up.
Spoilers
to that.
Redacted.
Yes. But that's why this is a theory.
Okay.
So yeah. That's why I wanted to get, because, okay, so we've got the Doctor Strange movie coming up, in which he has a necklace that contains power. That would be the letter N.
Necklace. Ah, oh, look at you.
And then we have Thanos' arch nemesis, Adam Warlock.
I'm sorry, somebody in the chat room, Kai 75, Cal 75 says, not Ash is what it spells out. So we get no Bruce Campbell in the Infinity Wars.
But no, so okay, Thanos' arch nemesis is Adam Warlock, who in his, you know, when he first came into the scene, he went by the moniker of Him.
Okay.
So Adam Warlock could potentially hold the soul gem.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is definitely interesting. And people are yelling spoilers at me in the chat. I was like, read the comics. I'm not spoiling a movie that haven't even been made yet.
Spoiler. This is comic books.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, well, let's see. Let's see.
If you don't know where the gems are, like, then you've missed every movie up to now.
Yeah.
There's been speculation on what's going on with the gems ad nauseum for long before this film came out. This just puts another little piece of evidence pushing the story along.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get what you guys thought about that theory, because he told me and I sat there going like, oh my God.
I thought the last gem would be from Jim and the
Gem and the hologram.
Thank you. See, this is why I like you. You got where my mind was trying to go.
That theory is outrageous. Truly, truly outrageous.
All right. Speaking of outrageous, let's get the king in here to get us back on the track. This is All Hail the King.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today, I thought about it, and I'm going to discuss the Age of Ultron Avengers. Sure, I'm going to make a lot of videos on these alternate costumes, but there's no reason that there shouldn't be an All Hail the King episode as well. Typically, I include three battles, and there happens to be three alternate costumes so far. So the team-ups will be Cap and Hulk, Cap and Iron Man, and Iron Man and Hulk. Pretty straightforward, right? But I'm not here to dazzle you with any team-up sorcery. At least not yet. Maybe when the other costumes come out, we will be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat. But in this video, it's just going to be Age of Ultron fun. And in many ways, that's what these alternates bring to the table. I was having a ton of fun with them, at least early on. While there's still no real love lost, they aren't exactly overpowered. That could be considered both good and bad. It's kind of part of a larger discussion based on the meta, especially pertaining to the worthy. You have to equip your agent with so many counters that it gets pretty tiring. But anyways, let me go ahead and give you my opinions on each one of these costumes. And I'm going to base my opinions mainly on facing the worthy because that's who I see 90% of the time. Alright, let me begin with the Iron Man costume. I think this alternate is visually stunning, especially once you turn into the Hulkbuster. I like his passives. Pays the bills can certainly come in handy, depending on which team or agent setup you're facing. One little problem that I do have with it is it doesn't show up on the other Avengers. The wording on it is slightly odd, and even though I think we are gaining Boonbuster, I would still like to see it on the tooltip. Then I do also like his base abilities. His repulsor ray is great, especially when it triggers a follow-up. I absolutely love digger missiles. Unfortunately, it is a ground attack, so you will want to equip the erupting AISO. Otherwise, he won't be able to hit Kurth, for example. Then besides the visuals of his Hulkbuster, I do like that his iron pummel has exhausted. His repulsor blast isn't too bad, and his iron smash would be better if it didn't rely on strain. I'm sorry, but straining looked good on paper, but it just doesn't drain enough stamina. However, another great thing about Iron Man and Hulkbuster is that you can get them as a blaster. Hulkbuster is both a blaster and a bruiser, and then you can also begin the fight with a normal blaster Iron Man. And yes, this almost sounds crazy, because blasters have been a liability. However, you are most likely going to be facing a bruiser Gnoll and or Kurth, and oftentimes even a bruiser safeguard agent. So having a blaster isn't really a bad thing. Oh, and we'll be coming back to that bruiser safeguard agent once we get the Hulk. But one last thing I want to say about Iron Man, as far as facing the worthy, many of his attacks have radiation exposure, and the worthy, of course, is immune to it. Still, the new Iron Man costume is pretty fun to use, and my opinion on him really hasn't gone down that much. So moving on to the Hulk, first of all, his passive is awesome. Well, both of them are, but we finally have a cower counter. His We Have a Hulk passive says attacks cannot be interrupted as long as Hulk is present. He also gains 2 Hulk up each round and a Hulk up when attacked. So very solid right out of the gate. And then also his abilities work differently, besides being modified. They now work on a Hulk up component so he can continually attack as long as he has a Hulk up. Now this is how an alternate costume should be made. Intriguing, worthwhile passives, and changes or a complete overhaul to the old abilities. See, this adds for some interesting combinations. With this version of Hulk, you could do things with Flanked, perhaps Rocket Raccoon, Union Jack, etc. Without a doubt, you have options here. That's pretty exciting, but one thing that I do want to point out is currently the Avengers Age of Ultron costumes may actually work better with other teammates. That's somewhat disappointing. In fact, the next Avenger teammate brings the least to the table. But before we get there, let's take it back to our favorite enemy team, a Bruiser Safeguard, Gnoll, and Kurth. So, most Bruiser Safeguards have the Hugin's Eye. This takes out 2 of Hulk's attacks. They're unarmed melee, and so they won't land. The good news is you can stagger him, so that's fine. If you're able to debuff him, that is. But we'll go ahead and give him that. Another problem, though, is if someone has Love Me, and you keep attacking a worthy with Hulk, they're going to pound his face in. Also, not supposed to be a huge indictment on Hulk. I do like this costume, but you probably won't want to use another Age of Ultron Avenger. It's really sad to me and something I can't quite get over. but it almost ends up being too much working against you when you're facing these very popular teams. And since I'm running out of time, let me just say Captain America, while I was a pretty big fan at first, now I have to say he just doesn't do enough. First of all, Together is great, but the Worthy really isn't exploiting anything. So how much damage does it save you? And Meteor Swarm still does a ton of damage, so I don't even see how it's reduced. Basically, I think they should consider adding more to his abilities, and I'm still hoping that they do something about it. Lastly, let me say, I know I hate judging so much on solely one team or one set of characters, but when you see them over and over again, it's really hard not to do that. It actually becomes essential that you do. I mean, really, at least as far as PvP goes, if the Age of Ultron Avengers can beat every single hero in the game, but not the two that are basically every defense, then it doesn't matter. However, jumping back to the beginning of all of it, if you make your agent solely anti-worthy, then you can be alright. By that I mean if you're prepared to face a Bruiser Safeguard agent, and you have a way to deal with Fatal Fists coming from You're Not Worthy, which by the way I meant to mention is another huge problem, then hopefully you can deal with Love Me, and so on and so on. Well, if your agent is set up to deal with a lot of that, then you can consistently win with these Avengers. But you have to be prepared. That's really all I'm saying. You can't get cute with your agent. You can't even really build him for synergy. You're pretty much forced to build him to deal with this one team, because the Age of Ultron Avengers, they can't really. So that's it. I went on a pretty long rant there, and hopefully it was coherent enough. That's going to be it for today's long-winded segment, and I'll send it back to the hosts.
Is it just me, or with him talking about these powers and attacks, people that played him are listening way too much to Teeny Bopper music? You're not worthy. Love me. You know, it's like, what are these titles that they're coming up with? I just heard it back to back to back. I'm like, holy crap, this is like CW material right here. What's up?
Hey now.
The views expressed by Charles McFall do not represent those of the rest of the
I was about to say, I will not have no bad mouth in the CW.
You know what? The CW's okay.
Not on Flash Day, yeah.
Well, just so you know, we didn't talk about this part, but Ellie is actually on a show on the CW. It's the one of the vampires. Which one is it?
The Originals. That was a part of season one.
I know, but you laugh because it was like, you're disrespecting. I'm not disrespecting
her. It's still just a show. Saying about one of the vampire ones.
Yeah. It's like, well, there's so
because
many.
Because there are enough.
So, yeah. Clearly. I'm not knocking. I am honestly not knocking CW, but you have a market, right? And it's not me.
Sure.
Typically. Sure. So,
well, ironically, you know, we filmed right by where you live, and you still know nothing about it.
they didn't call me up. It's like, hey, Epic Boss, do you want to come slay some vampires? I'd be like, all right, I'll do that.
You know, I don't think you're vampire material, Charles.
No, I'm vampire. Vamp bear material. That's what I play on that show.
A vampire bear would be horrifying.
In all senses of the word. All right. So we have some extended universe news. Who takes the top one there? Civil War.
So just came out about an hour before the show. Martin Freeman has been officially announced as joining the cast for Civil War, that being the Cap 3 movie. Not saying who he's going to play yet.
Punisher.
But
the world's tiniest Punisher.
That's funny.
My mental picture of him with the Hobbit ears and feet and then the Punisher
with t-shirt. The Punisher t-shirt. Well,
Bilbo would be a reasonable Punisher. He hates everything.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so funny. So yeah, you know, I mean, he's a very talented actor. He's been around for a long time. He's super famous right now because of the Hobbit trilogy. Any idea who you guys think he might be cast as?
My guess is he's going to be some sort of government bureaucrat who's working with Stark on the initiative, the superpowered initiative.
Let me check. Somebody sent me a suspicion of it, and I can't remember the name.
Well, don't check IMDb because they'll spoil it, and then they'll be wrong.
Oh, no.
Because Tigra is not in Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Still has not happened for... Right.
My boss, Jairus from Ace of Geek, says that he believes that it will be Baron Mordo.
Really?
Okay. I thought we had a Baron Mordo already, don't we?
No, we've had Strucker and Strucker. Let's see. There was another one. Jeez,
all those Baron brothers.
I think he was partially joking about the fact that anytime Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch are in a franchise together, the Sherlock people go nuts on it and assume that their characters will be interconnected. Well, if Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be Doctor Strange, clearly he right. must.
Oh yeah. Mordo. No, who was Doctor Strange's assistant? Was it Wong? Was that his name?
Watson. Perhaps. I think it is Wong.
Yeah, Wong would be. There you go. That's who Martin Freeman is playing. He's going to continue to play a sidekick to Benedict Cumberbatch.
I still can't get past the Punisher thing. That was hilarious. I'm just
stop bashing it.
I don't know. Man.
Oh,
what?
Cassius 335 says, wait, maybe Freeman's playing Mole Man.
Because Fox isn't using him.
Yeah, that is like, that could be. Well, because Civil War, we know, is when Spider-Man is greenlit to come in.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So if they have the rights to Mole Man could be pulled in, though, as part of that. Like,
certainly.
He could pull that guy off in a big way. I mean, yeah. Mole Man's essentially a hobbit. Let's be real.
Let it be known. This is the first time in history anybody's been excited about Mole Man for any reason.
Right. Well, so. Yeah, that's true. Freeman could play any sort of, you know, C or D list character who's just brought in for the sole purpose of basically having the speedball event, right? The accident out in was it Virginia? I think it was, but
Stanford.
Basically the catalyst for the whole Civil War thing could just be, you know, a 2 minute, 3 minute
he could be that
vignette
guy.
That causes it. Sure.
Yeah, he could be any of those guys. So that's cool though. That's cool. Not to be confused with Morgan Freeman, who will be playing the Punisher.
I would pay so much money.
I remember the first time.
Oh man,
my battle van.
Okay, other expanded universe news. We've gone too far down that rabbit hole. Just wanted to, because I like to do the Dice Masters update. DC Justice League just came out. Super cool. It's out in stores. Go support your local comic or game shop. And then I talked about it in the Agents Only Lounge going into the weekend. I mentioned Marvel Heroes because they've had a bunch of stuff going on for Age of Ultron. And I ended up, it sucked me back in, man. The funny thing about Marvel Heroes is, to me, it's a game that has continuously found ways to keep adding content, but also rebalance the existing content that they had and kind of, you know, patch up holes and stuff like that. And the last time I had played was like late last fall, and I had maxed out my Colossus. And then I went back and I started playing as Iron Man. And dude, I had a blast. Like, I had a lot of fun over the weekend. I played a lot more than I probably should have because I have a ton of work this week. And it had a really good time. So if you had played it in the past or anything, I just wanted to let you know. There's a 50% XP bonus for the six main Avengers, Black Widow, Cap, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Hawkeye. So they get an automatic XP boost if you want to come back. And you can try any of them up to level 10 for free. And if you start a new account, you can pick one of them to keep playing with. So it's a good time to jump back in. And if you do like playing the game, Steam has an awesome bundle for all six of those Avengers and their Age of Ultron costumes for $40. And you get $10 of in-game credit if you buy that. So, like, not only do you get a super sweet discount on all the characters and their costumes, you also get $10 in credit back. And you get, like, extra costumes and stuff like that, too, just by default. So it's a really awesome opportunity if you're really into it. I took advantage of it because the Iron Man costume in that bundle is actually Hulkbuster.
Oh, nice.
The thing that I mentioned is on Saturday they gave away the Mark 43 costume for free. The Mark 43 and the Hulkbuster are not the same costume in Heroes. The Mark 43 is just the, you know, the base Iron Man look from the beginning of the movie, and Hulkbuster is a separate costume. So they also had the comic Hulkbuster before. The new one for the film is way higher. Like, obviously, it's movie-style graphics. It's way higher def. It's way bigger. Just its base default size is, like,
noticeably bigger, and it's a lot of fun to run around as Hulkbuster and smash things. So that's my bit on Marvel Heroes. If you have any more questions, hit me up on the lounge or Facebook. If you're friends with me, I'd be happy to answer some questions. There's a lot of game there. I'm only beginning to scratch the surface.
I'm just glad. That, go ahead, Ibbit.
Oh, that post that you put in Agents Only Lounge, it got me back interested in playing that. So I'm definitely going to take advantage of that deal where you get the, was it $29.99 for that group of heroes? It's,
yeah, $39.99, but you get 10 of it back in the in-game currency. There's another package for like $65 that has, it also has the new Scarlet Witch costume in her, and also Vision, who just came out in his Age of Ultron costume. Scarlet Witch just got rebalanced, and she is like, basically the general consensus in the public chat is that she is the now the best character in the game. Oh, and wow. I saw a ton of, because she was pretty bad before. Like she needed to get reviewed, and they call it the level 52 review. They go back through and they rebalance characters that have kind of fallen behind, something that I wish Playdom would take a cue from. And so she's awesome, and you're going to see her everywhere because everybody's playing Iron Man right now and everybody's playing Scarlet Witch. And then also Vision, you're going to see a bunch of Visions floating around because he just came out. He's kind of weak right now. People are kind of saying he's literally the worst character in the game. But when that happens, you know, Gazillion generally addresses it pretty quickly. Within a month or so, they do some quality of life upgrades, and then eventually they'll do a complete passover and make sure that they're right where – you know, that character's right where they want them. So it's an exciting time. They just had a new raid come out and some other stuff. And it's insane. There's so much more content from 6 months ago that it's almost a different game.
I have to say, I'm so glad that it sucks so many resources that it has to be on the high-end PC and the Max and beta, because I did get hooked into it. I was playing it, loved it, loved Marvel Heroes, but it's like, oh, I can't play on my tablet. That's kind of a good thing right now. I can't play on my laptop. Okay, cool. I can actually get some work done. That's awesome.
It is a system hog.
And man, it is a great game, but I'm very glad that it's not that easy to grab into.
Yeah, I did the beta for it, and I've just loved it ever since.
That is cool. What about Marvel Future Fight here?
So this is a brand new game because we needed another Marvel mobile game, right?
Right.
Of course.
Just in time to coincide with Age of Ultron. Marvel Future Fight is basically a team, you know, you build a team and then beat the stuffing out of bad guys. It's like an overhead brawler kind of thing. I haven't played it yet, but it just came out yesterday. It's free to play. It's on Android. It's on iOS. And looking forward to somebody else trying it out and let me know what they thought, because I've gotten burned on some of these contest of champions.
I thought Future Fight was only on Android.
It just came out for iOS yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I thought. I've been checking up until yesterday. I've been checking.
Oh, there you go. So it was released on Android for a while, huh?
I saw it advertised on Facebook for maybe a month. I mean, not like a super long time, and it was not in the iOS store. So I was like, okay, I'm going to skip it. I have been playing the Mighty Heroes, and I'm really digging that. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
That's my style. Jump in, jump out, done, you know?
And it's the Mighty Heroes is the big head style, right? The D
is yeah,
the
Mighty Heroes is Angry Birds, essentially, for Marvel. I mean, it's just these really quick, one-minute-long matches that you jump in. If you really dedicate yourself, you get some great rewards. If you don't dedicate yourself, you still get some cool stuff. And it's really a quick time kill, which for me is what Angry Birds is. It's just, hey, I've got a few minutes. Let me play a few different rounds. Oh, I'm done. Okay, I can pick it back up in a week. You know, gotcha. I like it.
Yeah, Special Agent Cody Banks, I think, has the best description of it. It's basically Marvel Alliance, the PS3 Xbox game, the top-down PS3 okay. Xbox game, very much like that. Interesting. Let's see. The other new thing that just got announced, Disney Infinity 3.0, because, you know, we need a new one of those.
Right.
This time they're bringing in Star Wars, so
You'll get a freaking platform shaped like a TIE fighter or Hoth or something, because I have to buy a new platform.
That would be awesome.
Right? It would be awesome. Okay. Yeah.
It kind of would be awesome, but I'm still bitching about it.
Their platforms have all been kind of just boring little hexagons, but yeah. It would be nice to actually get something cool like that, I guess, unless you get the deluxe edition. But yeah, so you're going to get your Marvel, you're going to get your Star Wars, and even Tron has been announced. So you'll get some Tron characters, Tron Legacy characters. So look for that soon.
That game just really strikes me as like playing in a young child's toy box.
It is.
In a digital, basically. Like that. It's awesome. Like, it just seems like you're reenacting your childhood by just taking everything that you love and just doing ridiculous stuff with it.
Right. And they even have a level called Toy Box where you do exactly that. It's like the Minecraft of Disney, where you can pull in Captain Jack Sparrow's ship and stick Stitch on there and, you know, combine all these different things in with one location, one big toy box. So that is the extent of Expanded Universe. Plenty of stuff to play. Enjoy it all.
Yeah, so very, very cool. Now it is time for From the Field. We have a few emails. Hey, I know you guys. We've been trying our hardest to fill, you know, read everything that you send. We didn't ask you to stop sending stuff. Come on. You're getting a little light on us last couple. I know we went to Vegas. It was fun.
You know what, though? It's worked out because we've had so much stuff to talk about in the show and game that we don't have to, we actually don't have to cut anybody short this time around.
This is true. I still like knowing that you guys are there.
I'm gonna let you finish, but
all right, hit us with the first one.
Sure. Agent Cal wrote in, said, "Greetings, Tony, Steve, and Bruce. Don't forget we've got Natasha on the show as well. Hey, Agent Cal reporting from the field. I got to say that unlike Agent No Free Actions, I do like that proposed change. Turns were getting too long with normal quick actions, and I think they should be exactly what it says on the label, quick. With this latest Spec Ops, played and fulfilled a wish of mine that of giving the players that put extra effort a cool bonus to enjoy, the Hulkbuster versus Hulk fight. I think it would be cool if Playdom added some more secret fights to future and previous chapters and give us a reason to revisit them after 100% after completing a chapter and use these to give away some secret exclusive gear. I wish you the best of luck in the Spec Ops. See you later."
I thought, the hidden fight was amazing.
It's great. And, you know, it's funny that we talked about Marvel Alliance, the old PS3 Xbox game, because that game had some great ones where you'd go into, you know, you'd have your basic levels where you're running around New York, you're running around wherever and beating bad guys, but you'd get into these different zones where all of a sudden you're reliving a certain battle from a specific set of a specific story arc, like the Days of Future Past or the I'm trying to remember some other good examples. It was all specific, like storyline stuff. Maybe the Morlocks or something like that. And going even further beyond what we get with the heroic battles of saying, okay, these are all kind of taking place in current time and it's Cable and Bishop against so-and-so. It'd be fun to actually have some like old classic battles thrown in there, change the backgrounds behind them, give us that whole environment that it took place in, maybe even change the costumes to match, that sort of thing. I think it'd be really cool to see some of that.
I agree. How do you disagree with that? It's like,
No,
right. I wouldn't want to.
No, that. I don't like it.
No, don't give us more stuff, please. That's right. Ultimate Alliance, thank you. And X-Men Legends were the ones that Agent Wiggles, thanks for the clarification on that one.
Our next missive comes from Agent Maloney, who writes in to say, "I don't know if anyone in the Agents Only Lounge has found this out, but I think that this is very good information to pass on to them. This is a well-justified reason to get the cap alts for Age of Ultron and to get the Agent EISO. I just got hit with two abyssal stares, and we all know how devastating the dot damage is. With the EISO or caps alt, it knocks it down tremendously in capital letters. So those alts in the Agent EISO are a really good investment." Yeah, we talked about that earlier, and that's pretty much the conclusion we all came to, is that this is something that you're going to want in your toolbox, even if you're not necessarily going to rock it all the time, right?
Right.
You guys agree with that?
Totally agree with that, yeah. And so, it's funny, this is something we talked about earlier in the show and trying to remember the abyssal stairs, so very cool. Thanks, Agent Maloney.
And the big takeaway for me is, like, I no longer have to look at mindless ones as like, I don't want to do that.
And it's too bad because there's that great level in season 1, chapter 12. What is it? 112.4 or 112? Oh, no, 110.4. That is a great place to level two characters. You get almost as much XP as you get with 112.2, but it's all those guys, right? It's all the dudes, the Abyssal Stair dudes, boy, I can't remember their names. Mindless ones. Thank you.
How do I know that? Don't, never mind. Do not
maybe
answer that.
Maybe because I just said it like 2 seconds ago?
No, I said
that's
it first.
Right. Exactly. I just did a brain fart. But being able to now get that EISO and go and level in that where you can level two characters at a time with all that XP, that's a good thing, as Martha Stewart would say.
It's a good thing.
So this last one's not so much a letter as Agent Jill Starr confirmed. We talked about last week the theory of the canopic jar. If you use it on Vision right before Ultron takes him to his team, you keep Vision. And he, sure enough, he posted pictures of it works. So
I tried it myself too, and it's Vision against Vision. You've got a Vision on both sides. They still wiped my Vision out fairly quickly after that switchover, unfortunately, because dropped his health down and then resurrected him with 10% health. But it's really cool. And if you can throw something else at him really quickly to give him some life, then it's great. It's a really cool way to do that that battle.
Yeah,
that's what somebody else says. Like, you will have to heal him pretty freaking quickly, or it's just worthless. But I have found that I'm just blasting through that. You know, one last thing, because that's in there from the field. So one last thing before we get out of here. Did you guys notice, because I've talked to some other people, we're kind of on the same page, that the first time you hit the Ultron fight in Chapter 3 of the Spec Ops, I breezed through it. I mean, I slept through the fight. I don't even know who I used in it. You know, he took my Vision, like, oh yeah, okay, smack, smack, done. But then every fight after that was considerably harder. Like, you had to use strategy and you had to pick the right characters to go in. Did you guys experience that or no?
A little bit, yeah. I was, because you're given, for that one, you're given Iron Man, right?
No, your Vision. You have to have Vision.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Vision one. Okay. Yeah, I tried putting him with Scarlet Witch just to get the team-up bonus, and it wasn't happening. So that one, I did substitute in Iron Man and decreased the team-up bonus, but pounded through using keeping Vision phased as much as possible and then using the Unibeam as much as possible to whittle down the opponents.
There's a tip for the week, because you gave that last week, talking about just using the Unibeam when you have to fight with Iron Man. Just keep building that power up.
And if,
however, they will mess with you, so check your teammates to make sure, one, Iron Man's not disoriented, or two, you don't have a 50% chance to block attacks.
Oh, that man, yeah, because when you hit one of your own characters with the Unibeam, it doesn't.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
No good.
All right, here we go.
Real bad.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
Thank you to LA Collins for coming on today.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been so awesome.
And she is obviously new to the game. We're talking about having her on in the future, or going forth in the future, to give that different perspective and to give the new run perspective of all the things that happen. So if you'd like to hear more of Ellie or have any other opinions, write us at Helicarrier, fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com, as Woodard said in the ending there. So, yeah, if you'd like
to... If you don't like me, don't email him.
And in any case, don't send any mean emails.
There we go.
And with that, the boss has fled.
When I hear you screaming thunder, yeah.